Hey, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountRecovery.net, and I want to welcome you to today's webinar on training and developing adult learners. Adults learn differently than kids. It's an important fact to remember when developing training programs inside contact centers and collection operations. You're going to be training adults. That means taking a different approach, like making sure you're able to answer when an adult asks why he or she is being taught something. Adult learners are likely not going to be as enthusiastic as a child is as well. So today in this webinar, which is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning, we've got a panel of experts here to share their insights and techniques to make sure your training materials are built for adult learners. As I mentioned, this webinar is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning. Peak Revenue Learning's knowledge source is a training platform that brings together all aspects of your employee development and training needs, from compliance and job skills to internal policies and application usage. With Knowledge Source, you can replace the outdated model of onboarding instruction followed by annual refresher training with a model where non-disruptive, spaced, continuous micro-learning promotes much deeper learning and knowledge retention. By utilizing the focused micro-learning capabilities of Knowledge Source, your staff members can much more quickly master and maintain the knowledge and skills necessary for your company to deliver high-quality, high-impact, compliant service. You can learn more about them by visiting them online at peakrevenuelearning.com. I'm going to put a link right there in the chat that you can use to visit their website. I encourage everybody to do so. And we're going to hear from Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning a little later in our program. Let me introduce you now to our panelists. Beth Conklin's been in the credit collection industry for 30 years and currently serves as a director of organizational training and development with State Collection Service. Prior to that, Beth was the director of training and development and regulatory compliance at two large debt collection agencies. She holds the TSP and CCCO designations and is a certified instructor for ACA International. Beth's been recognized as ACA's Certified Instructor of the Year for 2012 and 2016, as well as being recognized as one of the top 32 collection professionals in the industry. Tony Diaz has been in the collection industry for more than 13 years. He's currently the manager of training and development at PFC USA. He's responsible for overseeing the entire training program and development of reps for first and third party collections. With a teaching background, training and development falls right in line with helping reps achieve their full potential. Tony holds numerous designations with ACA International. Dan Estes is the director of operations at R3 Dynamics in St. Louis, Missouri. Dan's strategic approach to operations management has not only enhanced organizational efficiency, but also contributing significantly to the company's reputation for delivering exceptional results in a complex and evolving healthcare landscape. Dan's leadership style is characterized by a strong emphasis on training, collaboration, transparency, and continuous improvement. Prior to joining R3 Dynamics, Dan held key leadership positions in notable healthcare systems, including Mercy in St. Louis, Missouri, where he honed his expertise as a training leader, helping revenue cycle staff navigate the intricate challenges of the healthcare industry. Our format for today's event is going to be a panel discussion. This, of course, means that questions from those of you watching us live are encouraged. If you've got a question, drop it in the chat. Send it in through the Q&A, which does allow you to submit questions anonymously if you so choose. That's your best option is to go that way. All right. I'm going to ask a question, and then Beth's not going to let me talk for the next 52 minutes or so. The one question I'm going to throw out there is, how are adult learners different from children, Beth?
All right, I'm going to go first. Is that because I'm the only girl here today?
No, not at all.
All right.
Alphabetically, by last name and first name, you come first.
Wow, that was really strategic. All right, well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the next 55 minutes or so. We're all very excited that you're here. How are adult learners different from children? Wow, this could probably be a subject all in itself for a good hour, I would think, right? First of all, I think with children and in any type of environment, they're there for a reason, right? Grade school, elementary school, junior high, senior high, their learning curriculum, they have to be there, right, as they grow up into an adult. So that's the why. And I think with adult learners, we really have to show them the why or the what's in it for me. Why do I need to be here? Why do I need to learn this topic? Why do I need to have this continued education? And so for me, I think that it's explaining and showing whoever your adult learners are going to be and whatever that audience entails, how they're going to benefit from actually having that learning experience. And I think some of the things that we deal with as far as adult learners is we're competing, right? We're competing with their time. You know, we're all multitasking. We're juggling different things, different responsibilities. And this could also be your employees. It could be your coworkers. It could be those of us right now out in the industry spending time together today. But we're competing for that time, you know, taking away from the other responsibilities that we're trying to navigate through to focus for 50 minutes, an hour, to be able to really hone in on why do we need to be here for this topic? What are we going to gain from it? What are going to be our actionable items? What are going to be our takeaways? We're competing for the attention, right? Right. So what can myself and what can Dan and Tony, what can we do during this 55 minutes to help you all stay focused and pay attention and really get as much out of this session as you possibly can to be able to, again, have those actionable items. And I think that that's a few of the differences by far in adult learners and trying to share subjects and train and help our fellow adults. So I'm going to now kick it off to, let's go with, if we're going in alphabetical order, Dan, what do you think? How are adult learners different from children?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is experience, right? We bring an experience that we have in the outside world that shapes our worldview. It shapes what we think about different topics. And especially in a collection industry or healthcare industry that I deal with, you know, they have experiences that, well, here in St. Louis, at any of the major hospitals, at insurance companies, and bringing that in and having to help mold that in the direction that we want to go with it. You know, that's a challenge to potentially deal with, but it's also something that can be really good with it as well. But ultimately, I completely agree. It's understanding the why. It's understanding the purpose behind what we're doing. And, you know, people don't accept. With my kid, I can say, hey, do this. Why? Because I told you so.
Right.
With adults, it's, why are we doing this? Well, it's because of this law, it's because of this reason, it's because it's going to have this benefit for you, for them, whatever it may be.
Explaining that why, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think you guys are, I think the biggest thing or I see in our industry is experience, that a lot of these older adult learners have knowledge of wealth. So they come from different backgrounds and they're trying something new, or maybe they came from a different type of call center. And it really does at times hinder them because they're so stuck in their old ways that we try to adapt them to what we do and our style of collecting or our style of learning. And like you said, the experience can be great, but it can also prevent them from kind of blanking out their memory from their old and trying to rewrite that new. And then technology is ever adapting. And some of these adult learners are stuck in, again, their experience of the old ways of technology. And you have these young children that are growing up around technology. Their world revolves around technology.
Yep.
So everything that they do is based off technology. Computers are being sent home with children from school. They learn from day one how to do emails, how to do this, how to chat with their friends. And it just translates into the workforce. They're so much far advanced. And when it comes to technology, they're ahead of these adult learners that didn't come around, haven't been around the same technology. Yes, they've done it to some extent, but not to the everyday aspect of their lives of these young learners that we're dealing with now. So you kind of have to figure that out and where they stand. And that's, I think, the task of the training team is to have, and I think we'll talk about this later, but adapting to those newer age learners of how they learn and adapting to the experienced learners and trying to get them all on the same page and not leaving anyone behind and making sure everyone's fully comprehending what's going on in the classroom.
And I think you really just opened up a great big can of conversation, Tony, by talking about technology, right? And, you know, we've got the different generations in the workforce. And when we talk about technology, to your point, I can be at a restaurant and I'll look around and there'll be like a 4 or 5 year old totally, you know, playing on an iPad, knowing already how to download apps, how to navigate through an iPad, right? Whereas you have somebody like my mom who's 76 years old and she thinks a selfie is taking a picture of her foot and sending it to me, right? And so when you, that did happen, and she was very proud of her selfie. So when we talk about technology is key, let me ask my two fellows, Dan and Tony, this question. When we talk about technology, what role do either of you think technology plays in enhancing that learning experience for our adult learners?
One of the things that I've found, so technology doesn't necessarily replace the touch and the trust that we build with people when we're learning, right? They have to trust us. They have to know that the reason we're telling them or training them and whatever is for their benefit, for the company's benefit, for the growth. But how I see it, especially practically in our world, we were forced with COVID to figure out how to use technology more. And what I found is it allows us to go on individual journeys. We may hire a couple of people at the same time, but it allows us to go on individual journeys with them by having video links, by having different things for them to see, but still then having that personal connection and going at their pace and helping them to understand the topics. So I think that's one area that it enhances is our ability to allow individualized training, even though it may be all at the same time.
Yeah, technology definitely plays a big role into the training environment. Like you said, COVID put us in a world of remote that we never thought we would be, where you can branch out to plenty of representatives across the nation. But what we've done here at PFC USA is we've basically turned day one into a technology day to make sure there's no learning that goes on. We set up your computers. We explain all the different technologies that we use. We want to, and it doesn't matter if you're an adult learner or a young learner, that we want you to feel comfortable with all the things that we're using, whether it's the dialing systems that we have, the Microsoft Teams, the Zooms, the Outlook, all aspects of technology that your headset troubles, your trouble setting, and your troubleshooting, and everything that you can think of. We've just lost, in the previous times, we felt we'd lost so much time when someone would disconnect or, hey, I can't hear you guys, or my microphone's not working. And we just feel if we do day one, that's all we do for half a day of going over everything, that you eliminate those 30-minute blackouts that you have, and then you lose the context of the training for everybody because you're waiting for that one representative to hop back on, figure out their issues. And it's not as easy as it used to be when you're right next to the, let me go to your desk, I'll help you set up, and we'll get you back on in no time, because you can see what they're doing. Yeah, we have screen share capabilities, but sometimes those learners don't know how to do that quite yet. So I think technology really does help us. Like Dan said, you have the ability of one-on-ones and no one's left behind. You can really reach out to them specifically without calling them out and helping them on the side there. But in order for us to get all on the same page, I think it really does take some time for them to feel comfortable with technology.
Yeah, and I want to bring up Ralph's comment from the chat where he says, hey, you know, one key is to just not be condescending about digital native versus not. There's multiple intelligences here as well. And that's you know, I want to kind of talk about that, because when we talk about our adult learners and we talk about the different generations in our workforce, one thing that I always make sure that my trainers do when we're training new hires, even our tenured reps, is everybody has a different skill set, right? And just because I might have an employee that is not doing well with maybe using our AI coach, I'm gonna talk about that in a second about our technology pieces. Just because they aren't doing well in that format doesn't mean that they're not gonna be doing well in another format. So you need to pay attention to each individual, to your point, Tony, especially in the remote world, right? It was much easier when we're all in a brick and mortar walls to walk around and see who's struggling, who's not, where their skill set is, who's doing strong in one area, who's not doing strong in another. It's even critically more important, especially if you have remote staff, that you take a look at your employees and get to know them individually to know what their individual skill sets are, to point them where they're going to be successful, right? And so one of the things that we have implemented on our side is a program called Zenaret. And Zenaret is an AI coach. Some of you may be familiar with it, some of you may not, but it kind of takes the place of role playing with another person. You're going to role play with an AI coach. And part of this platform is you have the ability to create all of your scripting, all of the call flow handling that you want every single employee to follow. And they're going to role play with that coach, and it corrects them. It gives them tips. It tells them how to do things. And I had a tenured employee when we kicked this off. I had this tenure employee reach out to me, and she said, so what's going on now with all this technology in the world now? So what, you're just going to replace all the trainers with this kind of stuff, right? And she was legitimately concerned. She was legitimately concerned that by using so much technology, it's going to take away the human touch, right? Our human connection with each other. And so, of course, her and I had a really great conversation about, you know, this is just another tool for your toolbox that we're using to kind of help you to be successful, to get up to speed quicker, and to make sure that all of us are doing what we need to do. We're on the same page, servicing our clients and our patients the same way. And so for somebody like her, who's a little bit nervous about this piece of technology, you know, maybe this is somebody that if she needs help with scripting or she needs help with call handling or de-escalation, we still need to recognize that human connection, because sometimes that is the best way for us to learn. So I think there's an even balance that we have to pay attention to and be mindful of.
Yeah, for sure, Beth. There's so much technology out there, like it can be overwhelming. That this day and age, you hear AI in every conversation that you're seeing or an article that you're reading, and it's taking over, and it does worry some people, and it does become overwhelming because, yes, AI has all its great benefits, but sometimes we just need to simplify what our reps are doing and make it as easy for them, even though we do think like those AI playbooks and listening to the conversation, it's prompting you what to say and do. Sometimes that can be overwhelming. You already have 3 or 4 different screens. You have your dialer, you have your different navigation system where the notes are going into. Then you have your AI assistant over here popping up in the middle of your conversation. So it really is kind of dumbing it down first till comfort levels go, and then adding those on as they feel the comfort level continue to rise. So technology definitely can help us out. We just have to be careful how much we give to them and how you present it and what they're really capable of.
Yes. So let's talk next about talking back to about our different adult learners. And I know we talked about, we're going to talk here in a little bit, I think, about the different generations and how you target those different generations in the workforce. But what do you think trainers need to do differently in order to be able to work with the adults and then train them effectively? Because we all learn differently, right? We've got kinesthetic learner, which I'm a kinesthetic learner. That means I learn hands-on. I need to touch it, feel it, do it, or I don't get it. My mother-in-law lives in Newton, New Jersey. It's about 6.5 hours from where we live in Ohio. I've been with my husband for 19 years. I've never driven to her house by myself, all by myself one time. So because I've never driven there alone, you could give me a briefcase with $1 million cash and say, hey, Beth, if you drive to Newton, New Jersey, your mother-in-law's house, you cannot use any help. You can't ask anybody. You can't use a GPS. Can't look at a map. Nothing. You can do nothing. But if you could do it on your own, even though you've seen it happen, you've driven it many times over 19 years, but I've never driven it myself, I would not get that money because I've never done it myself. But gosh darn it, if my husband let me do it one time, I'd have it, right? And then you've got your visual learners, those ones who learn by seeing. They want to see it happen. They like the PowerPoints. They like, having lectures. And then you've got your audio, where they like your on-demand learning. They like the lectures type of training. So thinking about all those different learning styles, what do we need to do differently in order to train and work with adults that have these different learning styles? And how can we be effective? Dun, dun, dun.
for me, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly talking to my team about is trying to tie it all back to the mission of what we're trying to accomplish as a company. Our three dynamics, our three pillars are respect, responsibility, and resolution. And so I'm, you know, always trying to tie everything back to that. When we talk about why we do what we do, we're benefiting our patients, we're benefiting our clients, we're benefiting each other. We're doing it in those three aspects. And so by tying everything back to a purpose, I think that's one thing that drives adult learners into understanding and wanting to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And so tying it back to that, and having that personal connection and learning the, you know, what their different styles are and trying to help to build all of that. That's one of the big keys that we focus on and continue to try to do.
Yeah, I think learning styles is obviously very important. I think the hands-on aspect, making connections to what those learners understand and making those analogies of this is why we're doing it, and let me make a reference of how we can connect those two. We talked about the adult learners having vast experience in different life. And I think if you can just make those connections to what they've previously done and somehow show them the importance, like you mentioned, Dan, whys of it, then it really does help those consumers. And the hands-on aspect, like everyone can learn from different, like obviously we know in training and development that you have different learning styles. So you have to incorporate those in your day-to-day functions. And And I think Beth mentioned at the outset of our meeting that you have to be really direct with these adult learners. Like, you don't want to have a lot of fluff in there. You want the point. You want to get the main context out to them, and really don't fluff it with a whole lot of other things around it. Like, this is the why, this is the importance of it, and this is how we're going to do it. And just keep it really directive and really directed to the point. And you'll see that you'll get those better returns rather than trying to drag it out or long, lengthy presentations. Obviously, no one's going to succeed in those aspects of it. So you have your burst trainings, you have your combinations of with some hands-on and some visuals and PowerPoints. You can't just sit there and talk in front of someone for 4 hours. Like, no one's going to retain that type of information. So it's just a mixture of all learning styles and adapting to who you have in the classroom, and maybe even getting some feedback from the learners before you even get going. Like, how do you learn best? How can we make sure that you succeed? And just getting their feedback from day one, make sure they're involved in the training and understand that we want you engaged, and we want to make sure that we're giving you the best opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, and I'm going to really piggyback off what both of you just said. You know, I think that as trainers and even as just speakers, just working with adult learners, I think that we need to your point, understand each adult learner individually. I've had people that have been in my new hire class where I've watched somebody not take a single note. And to me, observing that, I'm like, wow, like, we're gonna have some tests and they're not taking a single note. But yet that person, every time they can answer a question, they ace the test because they're just not a note taker. They do everything audio, and that's how they learn and that's how they retain. And so I think it's extremely important that you know your audience, right? Know who's in your audience. Pay attention and try to recognize how each person is engaged and retaining the information. But I think one thing also we need to think about is ourselves as speakers or trainers, right? So, for example, I'm a kinesthetic learner. That means I learn hands-on. So I'm that person that's probably annoying to everybody else in the room where I want to do an activity. Let's apply what we just learned and let's get into a little group huddle and let's touch it, feel it, do it. And so because that is my style, I tend to gravitate to teach that way, right? But if you have somebody who is more of an audio or more of a visual learner, that might not be that's not their jam. And that might be a little bit problematic for them or a challenge because I tend to gravitate to doing that more so than the other two styles. So to your point, Tony, getting all three of those incorporated into however you're going to deliver your message is going to be a critical component, making sure that you're doing all of those different targeted areas where you've got maybe some PowerPoints, you've got breakout rooms if you're doing it virtually so they can do little activities, but then come back and talk to the group, workbooks, things like that. I think that all of that needs to be encompassed when you're training your adult learners to help them all learn effectively and for you to be able to train effectively. Diversity is key. All right. Any questions?
I think Mike has his hands up. He's ready to step in.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to get to your question in a second. Go ahead, Mike. We'll let you talk.
I'm sorry. I know you hate to be interrupted, and I apologize. But I did want to invite Chris Rickman, the sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Chris.
Thank you, Mike. And hello, everyone. I'm Christopher Rickman. I'm the president of Peak Revenue Learning. Have you ever heard of the forgetting curve? If you haven't, you've almost certainly seen the results in your organization. The forgetting curve describes the rapid, dramatic deterioration of retained knowledge after learning events, whether those are new hire or other types of training. And virtually all of your people experiences, whether they were new or seasoned team members. And the results are concerning. Mistakes and complaints, missed revenue and dissatisfaction, rework and greater turnover. And this leads to increased regulatory, financial, contractual, and reputational risk. And of course, this makes your job more difficult. The good news is you can do something about it with spaced, repetitive microlearning. Our application knowledge source will turn the forgetting curve into deep learning, help your team members to learn and retain what they need to know, and empower them with the knowledge they need to thrive. Knowledge source will help you increase quality, decrease risk, grow revenue, lower costs, and help reduce turnover. To find out more about us, please visit peakrevenuelearning.com or give me a call at 803-521-0031. We are here to help make your job easier and both you and your company more successful. Thank you.
Well, who doesn't like an easier job?
What was that number, Chris, again, so I can put it in the chat? Chris, what was that number again?
803-521-0031. That's my direct number. Give me a call.
Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and appreciate Peak Revenue Learning sponsoring this webinar and continuing to promote education and help everyone in the industry learn what's going on here and for sponsoring today's webinar. Do you want me to ask a question, Beth, or should I just stop talking?
No, you're done. You're done. We've heard enough from you. We'll hear from you again in about 25 minutes. We still want to see you. All right. So Angelia has a statement here that she's got that she's offering for all of us. She says, hey, she loves to screen share, lecture for a bit and demonstrate what we're talking about, and then rotate through the reps training to share their screen and have them demonstrate what we just learned so they can all practice. It helps with that retention for sure. It helps with employee engagement, right? They know that they've got to pay attention because they may be up next. They're also advised to sign into that software and follow along as we demonstrate so they can practice as we go and not just when we share screens. Yeah, that's a really great point and tip. We earlier this year, we converted to a new dialer system. And we all know how our employees love change, right? They don't. And so one of the things, to your point, Angelia, what I did is when, and it did take, it was a heavy lift and it took time, but the results were so beautiful, is to train the new dialer, I did exactly that, right? I broke up my collectors into groups of 10 to 15 folks. I went over what the new dialer platform was, took maybe 10 or 15 minutes, showed it to them, and then I had each individual person actually log into the dialer themselves, reset their passwords, and then as I was moving along in the dialer, they were also moving along in the dialer under their own login and password, so they were able to actually get the touch and feel of it and be ready, so when we went live, they were familiar with it. And so I think that's a great point, is getting them into the system so they can see it, touch it, do it. You're targeting all those different learning styles. So thank you so much for that, Angela. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's a great tool and technique, because not only that, but then you get those ones that are uncomfortable, maybe don't want to answer or ask a question, or, hey, can I see that again? Then you're getting that four or five different times. And not only that, they'll see other people struggle. So the ones that don't understand it and can't get it, that they'll be able to see someone else as an understanding as well, a lot more comfort, and then they'll continue to grow and develop off of that one. So that's definitely a technique that everyone should be using. It gives you the application of seeing it, and then you physically get to do it, the hands-on portion of it. And you can also, if you're role-playing on top of just navigating through it, then you get the audio of it as well. So that's a great tool. And then you see people in action. And not only that, but you're also practicing behind the scenes so you can prepare yourself for when it's your round to go. So I think the engagement, clarification, and just making sure everyone's on the same page, that little technique there will go a long way with your new hires and even your seasoned ones when you're doing some ongoing training development as well.
One thing I'd like to add, and so this falls right in line with when I'm structuring training, I have four steps. It's schooling, it's giving the information, it's an apprenticeship, trying to come alongside, show them what to do, give them the opportunity where they're responsible for that. And the fourth one is failure. Allowing a safe environment in that training environment for them to fail, because it's through that failure, and Tony, you struck it on a chord, when you see other people and it's an environment where it's okay to fail and show that, you're gonna find those gaps, you're gonna find those things that you can talk about. And it impresses and empowers more, I believe, when we are given that opportunity to really try it and really have that potential.
I like that fourth step. It's okay to fail. It's your safe place, right?
Yeah.
And we learn from failing sometimes, right? That's how we grow and develop. And I think, to your point too, Jen, that's important that your employees know that, because whether you're a new hire or even a tenured employee or even somebody, you know, a manager, a director, a VP, we all still fail, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important to remember that.
Yeah, I think failing's got to be one of the things that you talk about. No one's going to leave the training room and be 100% compliant, 100% successful. And I think they have to understand that there's going to be a learning curve. And I think in our industry, with the laws, regulations, policies, procedures that change on a day-to-day basis, what we're doing today may not be what we're doing next week. And so being able to adapt and change and understand that you're never going to be 100% knowledgeable what's happening, because we aren't 100% knowledgeable. Like I said, the regulators out there change it on us from day to day, and we just have to adapt and implement it and roll with the punches and continue to move forward. And so I think knowing and setting that expectation that you're not going to succeed at 100% rate, that's okay, that we don't expect you to. And don't set that bar so high for yourself as a representative.
We like to call it the learning curve or the growing pains, right? So when they have a mistake, when there is a coaching opportunity, it's their growing pains, right? They're still growing, they're learning, they're developing. So let me ask this question to my friends out there. So we obviously have several different generations in our workforce, right? Traditionalists, few and far in between, but the baby boomers are still out there. We've got our millennials, we have our Gen Xers, our Gen Ys, and of course our new generation, Generation Z or Generation Wait. And that Generation Z is coming in 20 million strong into our workforce. And so when we talk about all these different generations and all the different learning styles and all of the different ways that not only do they learn, but communicate, right? Because that's what we got to think about, is the communication piece of it. How do we differentiate, or how do we determine what the differences are, and how do we adjust our training to accommodate those differences? So, for example, my daughter, she's 29 years old. She is a millennial, and she will, I can call her on her cell phone. She will not answer, but if I text her, immediate response, right? I have multiple employees that. And I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but I'm telling you, like, our staff do not read their emails. But if I send them something via Teams in a chat, or if I share something on SharePoint, man, the response is instantaneously, right? And so talk to me about how we would find those differences and what we could do to kind of gel all that together.
I think we kind of talked about a little earlier about learning styles and getting the feedback from the training classes when you're starting, of how do you want to be reached out to? How do you like to be communicated with? And especially in that remote environment, like you said, email just doesn't seem to hit home the same as a Teams message or a direct message to somebody. They just love the response of that one. And maybe that's not the same for an adult learner. They love email. So you have to be able to communicate in all fashions, so that way everyone's getting the same information. And so then you have all the different types of technology that tie people in. So you talked about the AI. There's almost also the gamification that also plays a role, yep, in our industry, that you have all these youngsters, the Gen Z people, that really love games, and that drives them, and that aspect of it really motivates them. And so using the different technologies as well to motivate and to get people engaged and keep them going. And again, I think it all ties in from day one of getting that feedback. How can I help you succeed? What drives you, and how do you learn, and how do you communicate, and really sets up for success for the training class, for that representative and the trainer as well, because then you know how to get these people to succeed.
And then passing that on to the leadership team, right? Mm-hmm. Passing on what is their communication preference. All the things that you just talked about, Tony, I think are extremely important, that it trickles throughout the entire company. And like you said, gamification. We use gamification, and oddly enough, it's the we were very surprised. It's like, for us, our gamification is like a big thing, a Candy Crush, right? And we were actually surprised at how much employee engagement went up across the board, across all generations. Different motivating reasons why, right? Our younger generations love to multitask, they love technology, they love the bing, bing, bah, instant gratification, right? Our other generations, like our millennials and boomers, they just love the fact that they can win something. That's another incentive. It's time off, or it's a prize. So finding those different motivators when you're tying all that together is key too. Dan, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, for me, it just strikes back to learning the people that we're talking to, having that one-on-one connection, and it really comes down to communication, right? The more communication that we can have, the more explaining things, that's what's, you know, what I found successful there.
Yeah, I am, you know, I'm going to kind of tie into, you know, what Tony and Dan have been saying is learning how everyone prefers to communicate. And like I said, folks just don't read their emails in my shop. I'm telling you. And so I've been racking my brain thinking, what can I do to really help add additional tools to everyone's toolboxes where I know they're going to get the communication, because some people read their emails, most people don't. How do I get the message across? And, you know, one of the things that I started thinking about was, you know, we have a learning management system, right? We upload all of our content to a learning management system. Folks have to log in, they put in the password, and they're sitting there taking whatever kind of course. And ours are pretty interactive, but I thought, what if I do these little mini training micro bursts, right? Where they're only a minute or 2 minutes long. And instead of throwing them into my learning management system, we send out a little link via text message to our employees. Please, if you want to implement this idea, check with your own attorneys and your compliance risk level, please. That's my disclosure. Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how can we get this content out to folks who they prefer to get chats or text message? They'll read that, they'll open that versus going in their 3,000 email inbox, right? And trying to dig up an email from the training team. And so that's something that we're starting to really test out is, let's send out these little training bursts to help add A to how do they want to be communicated? How can we help them retain the information? How can we make it available for quick and easy access? So I think it ties into when we were talking about our technology earlier, how can we utilize all these things that we have to really help give our staff the tools that they need and to learn as adult learners and to stay engaged?
I think the burst training is a great idea, because the old ways are gone of sitting there for 30 to an hour and trying to relay the information and just drawing it out. I think if you can be short, directive, and it can just be a piece of the bigger picture. It doesn't have to be the whole picture at one time. You can do your 5-minute training, pull them off the phone and get it, the main concept, the main idea, get them to them. And like I said, the adult learners do love that. Like they said, they want to be very specific. They want to know the importance of it, the whys, and give it to me and let me go back on my way. They don't want to sit there for 30, 45 minutes and hear about the repetitiveness or hearing a lot of information. They just want it short and sweet. So I think that's very important. And just putting that in your training calendars and kind of getting those mixed in with the longevity ones as well, your quarterly ones or whatever timeframes you have out there. But those bursts do definitely have a big impact. And like I think you're right on it, Beth, of how you present those to your reps. How do you get it to them? Because like you said, you want to make sure they're watching it and not just seeing it in the email and deleting it without even viewing it. Can you track it, or can you have sign off on it or whatever through Teams or text messages, whatever is the easiest way for your company to reach out to. But definitely getting those to the reps and making sure they're viewing them.
The bursts, even, I mean, yeah, you know, continuing education, even new higher education. One of the things that I remember from college courses I took on video production is when like a movie's about to set out, it starts off with showing the town, and then it's the house, and then it's the room. And so I've kind of taken that same concept with bursts of, you know, content, short 5-10 minute session. Mm-hmm. But that same thing, first is an overview, but hey, then let's talk about this thing. And let's talk about examples and how that applies and break that up over the course of you know, the entire training process. And so it, you know, then allowing people to have time to reflect, but thinking through how we move through that and, you know, the overview doesn't have to be an hour and talking about every single thing. In fact, they're probably not going to remember all that.
Right.
So absolutely, I'm a huge fan of that stuff, and that's kind of how we've structured it in my mind, I thought, with it.
Good. All right, so we only have about 15 minutes or so left to go. Can you believe that? Goodness, this went fast. I've been checking the chat. I don't see, unless there's any private messages that I don't see. I think we're good on our chat so far. So any questions, comments, feedback, we love the interaction in there, so get them in there if you can. So let's talk about... you know, I know, Dan, you were talking about you have your training into four different steps, right? Ending mm-hmm. with failure, starting with the beginning piece of it. So can you talk to us a little bit more about how can we customize our training programs to cater to all the diversity of experiences and skill sets we have with all our with our adult learners?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, could be wrong in this, could be right, I don't know, but we kind of throw everything at them, right? I mean, I have chapters, I have videos, you know, a big piece of what we're trying to do is allow them time to reflect, allow them time to really digest what they're doing, whether that's through, you know, an activity, whether that's through even like just journaling and putting thought to it, writing out their own thoughts of how we can go about that. Reflection is a big piece of what we try to do here. You know, that's where it goes even with the short little trainings is then a piece where they can reflect on it and really dive into it. So, you know, no matter what generation, allowing them to reflect in their own way, I think is a good part of what we're trying to do.
I think what we've toyed with and keep tinkering with is the time frame of what they're in the classroom and actually application of mm-hmm. what is being trained. Like, is it 2 to 4 hours? We got away from 8 hours of just in the classroom and then no one succeeds in that way. Like, we need the short terms of an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, that half of your day in the classroom, and then go apply it on the floor. Even just observing real life experiences of what you just learned will reinforce what you kind of learn in the classroom. You get that real application, you see it live, you see it in play. It just means so much more, and then they can retain more. Like you said, you only got a short amount of classroom time, then you go apply it and learn it. Then let's build on it the next day. Let's continue to take that next step forward. Instead of the days of where we sat in the classroom for 3 or 4 days, all right, let's put you on the floor here for a little bit, and then we'll come back and keep going. Like, you forgot half of the information that you spent doing there for the last 3 or 4 days. So I think we still toy with that, trying to figure out what the right mix of classroom and observing on a day-to-day basis. But I think that's really important. The application and keeping that knowledge and retention is important. Obviously, the more they retain, the better they're going to be.
Yeah. So for our new hire training programs, what we do is, you know, very similar to Dan and Tony, what you're talking about, you know, of course we have our regular regulation training, right, that we need to make sure they all understand what they can and cannot do before they actually do it, right, before they actually make those calls. But what we tend to do is we tend to break up the day. We hit all of the different skill sets and the different experiences and the different learning styles is we'll break up the day where maybe we just learned all about HIPAA and all the medical regulations. And so now we'll get everybody into Kahoot. So I don't know if any of you are familiar with Kahoot.com, but it's a really fun, like little trivia, and you battle against each other. And there's a baseline free subscription. To have a full subscription is really inexpensive. So each one of my trainers have a full subscription. You could create your own Kahoots. And so we've created HIPAA Kahoots, Medicaid Kahoots, Medicare Kahoots, things like that, because we're in medical collections. And after we've just learned about the regulations and before they get ready to take their test, we get them all in a Kahoot and they battle against each other based on these specific questions. And it shows on the podium who's in first, who's got gold, silver, bronze. And we give out, we'll give out virtual either gift cards or credit to our merchandise store. We also do shadowing sessions. So that's part of how we customize our training program to cater to these different skill sets is they'll shadow. So after they've learned all the regulations, after they've learned their scripting and their client-specific information, they'll do side-by-sides and start shadowing another tenured rep. So they can actually see how now all of this is being applied on a call session. And then as we go throughout our training course, part of their career path is they then go to what we call the Fire Academy. So they don't just go right out on the floor. We go into the Fire Academy, which is more like a nesting period where now they're going to take everything we just applied or we just learned and they're going to apply it, but in small stepping stones. So they're not going to make calls right away. They're going to continue to build based on their different skill sets, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are. We're going to kind of carve out their own path within the Fire Academy to help them get a little bit more developed before they start taking and receiving calls, which they'll start while they're in the Fire Academy. So by the time, you know, a total of 5 weeks later, they go out on the floor, they're pretty confident, self-sufficient. We've addressed all their different individual uniqueness that they have to help them be successful. So that's kind of how we customize our training program here at State.
Yeah, I think the shadowing is really important. I also would piggyback off that and make sure that you do the screen sharing as well. Obviously, mm-hmm. hearing it is one aspect of it, but seeing it is obviously equally as important as well. And so with all the different technologies we have, that's easily done, and it just makes for a great experience, and you really hit home, and you soak it in. That retention, like I said, just really goes up with that shadowing time and that screen share.
Well, and I love when they screen share, especially in Teams, you have the ability to control the screen, right? So, mm-hmm. so like if I'm new and I'm shadowing you, Tony, and you're sharing your screen, you can let me have control and I can follow your little face bubble. If I get stuck, you can move your mouse and show me where to go and I'm still controlling it. So I'm still, you know, kind of the umbilical cord is still there, but I'm doing things on my own to help retain. And then by doing that, you are going to be able to see where I'm struggling, where I may need more help, where I'm doing really well at. And so that's a very valuable tool is the screen sharing and then allowing that screen control.
Yeah, I think that's the, like you said, you used the reference of Firehouse. I think that's that confidence building of, all right, let me be your hands for you while you do the conversational piece for that representative. So me, the new hire, I control for you. They ask a question. I go to that part of the screen for you. I get the information pulled up for you. But it does give you the ability, as the senior rep, let me pull it back. You're in the wrong area. You're kind of delaying me. But it does build it slowly. All right, let me navigate the confidence with our technology. And then as that goes on, they can switch it up and then they talk while the senior rep navigates for you. So that way you can focus on one aspect of the job and then before you have to combine and do them both. We don't want that sink or swim kind of mentality. We right. want them to succeed and then build succession and continue to rise.
Dan, we keep talking. We feel so bad. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we do very similar things and getting the hands-on training through those methods. You know, and we have different stages where they're just listening to where they're navigating while our senior reps talking, kind of, you know, telling you exactly what you're talking about. One of the things too, you know, as far as reflection piece of it, the shadowing goes into that as well. If we just talked about HIPAA, hey, you're going to sit with this rep. I want you to listen to what they do for role of minimum necessary. I want you to understand what that means given the target and kind of empower them or give them a few questions to really think through and try to direct that shadow time of them just sitting there and listening of what we want to accomplish out of that time.
I can tell you right off the bat that if I was a new hire and I was sitting at home in my workspace and I'm shadowing somebody and I'm just listening to my calls, I'd probably fall asleep.
For sure.
I'd be like, oh, wow. All right. So we have about 8 minutes left. One more question for everybody here. So thinking about our industry, right, our arm industry, what do you think are some common barriers to learning for adults? And what do you think we can do for them to be overcome?
I think one is a fear of failure. Right. I mean, we talked about that earlier. There's so many regulations. There's so many things that we have to be cognizant of that we really can't fail at. And so trying to help people overcome that fear because, you know, their job's at stake, their you know, money's at stake, all of that stuff. Right. And so it comes down to, I think the keys to that are, again, pointing to, you know, I keep going back to pointing to the whys. Hey, why is it important for us to follow that law? Why is it fit into our goals of what we're trying to do? We're trying to help people. We're on the phone. We're trying to give one call resolution. What factors go into that? But through that communication, through that allowing that safe space when we're in training for that failure, help to hopefully overcome some of that.
I think another barrier that we have is just the constant change. Like I said, the laws, regulations, like some of our adult learners don't adapt well to change. And so they like to mm-hmm. understand it, master it, and leave it at that. They don't want to mm-hmm. have the change. Why do I have to? Well, they understand the why, but they just don't want to adapt to it. And with our laws and regulations and being adherent to all these policies that are changing on a day-to-day basis, that there is a constant change. And like, well, I just learned it this way, now you're telling me I got to do it that way, doesn't make sense. Like, well, unfortunately, that's just the industry and the way that it is. And I think change really is difficult for some of our adult learners. Like it takes them a while to learn it. They've mastered it and they don't want it to budge. They don't want to, and that ties back to their experiences of their prior knowledges. And this is how I used to do it, and this is why I did it. Like, well, this is the new why, and this is the new way of doing it. And I think sometimes that's kind of a barrier that we see on a day-to-day basis when, whether it's a new hire or senior rep, with the changes that we just deal with in the industry.
Yeah, I think for me and my experience, part of the challenge I think we have our barriers is time, right? And the regulations. I mean, you know, depending on what regulations are changing, and they're changing so often, and sometimes the impact to our staff is one that they really quite don't understand, so we need to explain it. But then time, right? Especially when you're dealing with your collectors, time is money, money is time. They're on the phones. They're supposed to be collecting money. They have performance expectations. As a company, as leaders, we have client expectations. We have our own company KPIs and measurements that we have to follow for me. So I think that it's dealing with the time and how can we get our message across? How can we train our adult learners and get them to where they need to be? And I think the biggest key when you're dealing with time, to your point, is explaining why it's important. This is why we're here. This is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. But also trying to do those different types of delivery methods that we've talked about the last 55 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Does this need to be a 30-minute, let's sit down and have a training session? Can it be just a quick microburst? Can it be just a quick course in your learning management system? Can it be just a training memo? Right? Is it something very simple where it's just a quick training memo? Hey, we're not reporting the state of New York effective immediately. That regulation just came out, right? So, you know, is it something that simple, or is it something where it's going to contain, you need some additional scripting for your representatives to be able to know if a consumer asked them about credit reporting in New York? And so I think that we have to look at the different delivery methods in order to be able to overcome some of these barriers that we experience with our adult learners. So there is one, we only have a couple minutes left, and there is one question in the chat that somebody has asked, and they're asking, can we touch on neurodiverse learners? So did one of my fellows want to take that, or do you want me to share a story that I experienced with this?
You can bring us home.
They're like, go for it. So this is a very sensitive subject, and I'm not a human resource expert, but I will share with you an experience that I had in my previous life with a fella who was a neurodiverse learner. And at the time, this was a very long time ago, and at the time I wasn't really familiar what it was or that there was a name for it. But one thing that I noticed is he was fine the entire week and a half of new hire training, and then when we went to get live on the phones, I'm going to spin this quickly because I know we're almost out of time. When we got on the phones, I noticed that, and how we did it is first, kind of to what Dan and Tony were talking about, is first you're going to be on the phone and you're just going to do all the talking and your buddy is going to do all the navigating. Then you're going to do all the navigating and your buddy's going to do all the talking, and then we're going to gel it together and you're going to do all the talking and navigating and you're on your own, but still in the classroom environment. And so what I noticed is at the end of every day new hire training, there would be a pile, like an anthill of little balls of paper. So this fellow would take his piece of paper and he'd ball it up into small balls. And by the end of each day, there'd be a pile next to his computer. So the time came, ninth day of training, and he's going to be on the phones and he's got to make all of his calls and do all of his documentation on his own. And he was so flustered and he could not get it together. He was getting so, like, I could tell by his body language, he was getting frustrated, angry. He just couldn't do all of it at once. So I said, let's take a step back. And I had him do all the talking and he seemed to calm down. But what I noticed is when he was doing all the talking and I was doing the documenting and navigating, he started balling up his pieces of paper. And then when I had him navigate and I was doing the talking, same thing. He was balling up little pieces of paper. And then after 2 hours, I said, okay, I'm going to sit here with you. Go ahead and make your call. Same thing. He couldn't do it. The fact of the matter was, is because of what we call a neurodiverse learner, for him, he has, that's like his anxiety I don't know what the right word is here, but this is how he controlled his anxiety, is he had to be able to roll up his balls of paper while still doing his task at hand. And as long as he could do that, he was fine. He could do the job. And so in a situation like this, again, we talk about, you need to make sure you're paying attention to your individual learners, what they're good at, where their weaknesses are, and also paying attention to how they operate and what helps them move along throughout their day. And so what I found with this fella is he was really good on the phone, but to have to navigate a dialer and click the dialer options and all that was too much for him. It was too overwhelming. He couldn't do what he needed to do to calm himself down. So what we did is he had two different roles. He was our clicker. So those that are not TCPA compliant, he would sit there with human intervention, and he became our clicker, loved it. He excelled at it, fastest clicker we've ever seen in our life. And he also worked accounts manually. So at this agency I worked at, he, in my prior life, he would work the accounts manually. So we had a pool of accounts that had to be called and worked manually. There was no dialer, and he excelled at doing that. So I think, I don't know if that helps you, Marissa, or answers your question, but I think when you're looking at a neurodiverse learner, you need to look at what their calming mechanisms are, what would help them to be successful, and then if possible, find a role that would help them with their strong skill set, but be able to navigate that diversity that they have. I hope that helps. Not a lot of time to dig more deeper into that, but you're more than welcome to email me if you want to talk further, but I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, Mike, you can close us off now.
Does my voice still work? Yes. Hey, it does. Congratulations. That's awesome. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask a final question. I'm not letting you, the three of you, off the hook without finishing the webinars where we finish them all here at accountsrecovery.net. And that's asking each of you for what you think the most important takeaway is from today's conversation. So if you want the audience to walk away with one thing, what do you want that one thing to be? We'll go reverse alphabetical order this time. So Dan, you're up first.
Yeah, so my big takeaway is having a purpose, having a goal. I think that adult learners learn the best when they feel like they're part of a bigger thing. And so if we don't know what our personal mission statement is, what our company mission statement is, developing that and then guiding your training to accomplish that is key.
Yes.
Okay, unmute myself. Tony, you're up.
I think the day one expectations. How do you learn and how do you want me to communicate with you? I think especially in the remote environment, if we can set day one expectations of how you learn and how you want me to communicate with you, I think we get one of our biggest barriers out of the way, and then we can focus on the training and retention of the information that's being presented to them.
Excellent. Thank you. Beth.
My biggest takeaway is know your people. Know who you're working with. Know each individual. It takes time, but it's worth it. Our people are our assets. And if you really get to know them individually, understand how they learn, how they retain, what their communication preference is, I think that you'll find a lot of success training your adults.
Excellent. Well, Tony, Dan, Beth, I want to thank the three of you so much for being here today. On behalf of everybody who watched and listened, whether it's live or recording, and is walking away with some great ideas on how to, you know, changes or things to do in their office, thanks to each of you for sharing your time and your expertise with us. I want to thank Chris Rickman and the team at Peak Revenue Learning one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please check them out at peakrevenuelearning.com. Finally, I want to thank everyone who is watching. If you're watching us live, if you're watching a recording, thank you for giving us an hour of your time. It's always appreciated. If you are watching us live, we're back tomorrow with a webinar at 1 o'clock Eastern on how to implement new technology in an office with outdated technology. An interesting dynamic that's going on, I think, in a lot of offices across the country is maybe the technology is not the most up to date. So how do you take advantage of some of these new tech that's out there? We're going to have a conversation about that. So if you haven't signed up yet, there's a link in the chat, or you can go to accountsrecovery.net and find a link to sign up there. So we hope to see you back tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern for that. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. And we look forward to seeing everybody soon.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. We'll see you guys.